Hey everybody, welcome to the Tuesday All-American edition of the Athletic Hockey Show. I'm Craig Custance, joined as always by my co-worker, Sean Gentile. It was downgraded to co-worker.
Only one of the shows, or only one of the hosts on this show is at risk for rabies exposure. Is that where we're at?
We got a lot going on at the Custance household.
You're falling apart. You got your arm bandaged up. You got squirrels and bats and
we have a wildlife expert currently in the attic.
Yeah, it's Jack Hanna from the San Diego Zoo.
We've got
famed late night guests here to diagnose
rest
your problem.
In peace. Oh God. He can't be around, right? I don't know. I have no idea.
All right, possible. Jack Hanna. Sorry, buddy.
I've got my daughter has a fractured ankle from a sledding. This is why we don't go outside in Michigan. I may or may not have broke. I have an appointment after this to get an X-ray on my arm from a pond hockey accident over the weekend because I tried to skate and play hockey like a dumb kid.
I like how it leaks 45. Out a little bit more each week. How little on ice experience either of us have.
I was actually making a hockey play. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I was like skating and just bit it.
Yeah,
I'd like that. But the
I'd like to see the video on that one.
I mean, thankfully there was no video of the incident in question, and I don't think it's broken. Like that's why I didn't go to the emergency room right away or whatever you would go for a broken arm. But here's what I've learned. I guess I knew this. Ice is pretty unforgiving. Like it's rock solid.
Wow, yeah, it's slippery.
Did you know that?
Slippery too.
It's, well, I knew the slippery part. So yeah, we're dealing with some stuff here with the Custance household. How are you, Sean?
Good. Got snow a couple of days ago. Most snow. I mean, I don't think we actually had like real accumulation here until a couple of days ago. Then it came with a vengeance. So short of walking to get a booster shot a couple of days ago, I have done nothing.
Great.
Thank you.
So.
Yes. Everybody needed to know that. It was important.
I couldn't wait for you to finish that.
I found $5.
How are you, Sean? And that's what I get? You know, just say great. Let's move on to the conversation.
And then I found $5. It was crazy.
Tell me more about your... All right. So as everyone knows, hockey trade season is a holiday around here. We enjoy it. And it gets wider and wider. Like we start earlier, and this year it's later. When is the trade deadline? I'm going to pull that up.
It's almost exactly 8 weeks from now.
Yeah, it's March 21st. So we're really. But look, this is it's fun. There's a lot of interesting names out there. We talked about Klingberg last week. John Klingberg, as Sean mentioned, it was like John Klingberg weekend on our site. We analyzed the options every which way. And we want to get out in front in a couple of things. But before I get to the trade talk, Sean, you did want to talk about actual game. Like that, you were entertained by Pittsburgh Vegas. And you're like truly convinced Pittsburgh's good. Like
that's before I do any of that, by the way, this is like shoddy hosting by you.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Introduce our guest that's coming.
David Quinn, Team USA head coach.
The Olympic coach. The men's Olympic coach is going to join us in the second segment. I probably should mention that before I mentioned rabies.
Rabies and pond hockey and
$5
some random midweek Penguins Golden Knights game. I mean, it's been my God. I looked it up a couple minutes ago. David Quinn was named head coach on December 27th. Like, I know he was an assistant, you know, set to be an assistant before that. But good God, what a hectic 3 weeks for him. What a hectic 3 weeks for that whole operation. I mean, we talked to some of the kids from Minnesota yesterday, you know, Ben Myers and Brock Faber and, you know.
You're like Brock Faber number one fan now.
He's a gem. Get ready to be annoyed by people talking about how great Brock Faber is for the next like 15 years and in LA, but it's been a hectic 3 weeks for them, and we got the roster to talk about. I'm psyched. David's here. He's an interesting guy. And again, horrendous work by you.
Thank you. Well,
but if
you're clicking on the podcast, it says in the title David Quinn.
Whatever.
So read.
Anyways,
Penguins.
I think they're
you got the pom-poms.
I think they're good. I don't, I, and I take like, no, I honestly, I take no extra joy in saying that. Boy, come back from three goals down against Vegas, who's playing really, really well right now. You got Malkin back. You have Jason Zucker playing on a line with Malkin and Kasperi Kapanen. They looked really good last night. Jake Guentzel, you know, he's leveling up, it seems like, over the last couple weeks. Tristan Jarry, legitimate all-star. I think what we've seen from them over the last month is that the results have started to match the process. Like they look good. They just lacked finishing. And now you add Malkin to the mix and you got Crosby clicking and you got Guentzel back from, you know, breaking his hand or whatever happened to him. They're dangerous. I'm not sure I'd pick them. I don't know that I'd pick them to win a cup right now, but, or anything like that. But they've been under the radar, I think, for a little bit, and that's probably about to change.
It's amazing to say, like, oh, everyone's talking about Florida and I guess Carolina, but the Penguins, longtime darling of the spotlight, are the undercovered.
People are tired of talking about them. It's fine. Yeah, we've been doing it for 18 years, right? Like we're in season 18 of Crosby, like. It's understandable. I don't necessarily want to talk about the Penguins anymore either. Like, but I think the pendulum this year has swung a little bit in the other direction, right? Where it's like it's a little bit of an overcorrection. They've been really good, and if they might not be Colorado level or Florida level, but if there's a second tier there, I think they're pretty squarely in it. Last night, obviously, I watched a ton of them. You know, I live where I live, and I just default to watching them if there's nothing else on. Last night was the best game they played all season, and it was against Vegas, and it was impressive.
What did you think of Vegas? What to do with it? That I think I've been picking them to win a Stanley Cup for like 3 years, and
it's like
probably going to change course.
Just it's been a bizarre season for them because they're good, and they've been good. But it comes with this gigantic asterisk because of Eichel. And it's not a bad thing adding Jack Eichel, obviously. But this is not whatever team we're watching here, good as they may be, mm-hmm. it's going to be fundamentally different, like, soon. And that's not just because they're adding Jack Eichel. It's because they're going to need to subtract, whether it's Riley Smith, whether it's Chandler Stephenson. It's going to some important element from that team over the last however many years is going to be gone. That's just the nature of it. They don't have the money to do it without sending, you know, somebody serious out. So short of a Nikita Kucherov situation or, you know, some important player going on LTIR, which would alter them even further. I mean, they're going to be different in a month than they are right now, good as they've looked.
I like Jack Eichel kind of saying the other day, I'm not saying I would have played in the Olympics, but I'm not saying I wasn't going to play in the Olympics if the NHL players, like, he didn't rule it out. So that suggests to me, I mean, it would have been really easy for Jack to be like, there was no chance. I couldn't do it.
I mean,
so
even
that suggested early February.
You know, like, remember the early time frame on him whenever he had finally had the disc surgery? Like, the low end of the rehab timeline was right there. Like it always was in play. It was just something we didn't get a chance to talk about because of, you know, what happened with the scheduling. So I'm not surprised to hear that. It's just another reason to be kind of bummed about the way things worked out. But that's why we got David Quinn on the show, baby. Make us excited, coach. Come on. Make us care, because we don't.
I do.
I don't care.
I care.
Not at all. Not one. No, I'm
fine. Okay.
I'm kidding.
A bit of news that's breaking as we record. Kent Hughes, longtime agent, has been named Montreal Canadiens general manager. Now, of course, we don't talk about the Montreal Canadiens on the American. Although, Jeff Gorton, American, running the show there.
We're set.
Here's a couple interesting things to highlight here, though. According to Puckpedia, and I mean, I think we probably know this, Chris Letang is one of his biggest clients, Kent Hughes. I think that's interesting because Chris Letang, not that agents become GMs and they only go after their own players, but look, you know, it's a relationship league. You can connect some dots. I don't know what Chris Letang would do in Montreal, but
make a lot of money. Chris Letang, pending.
I'm not sure that's what they need.
Pending, I don't know.
Time.
Everybody needs money.
Oh, I know Chris Letang does. So I think that's interesting. I also think it's interesting that I don't think Kent Hughes was the front runner going into this, and clearly something happened.
Didn't seem like it.
I'm not saying it was our interview with Bill Zito that did it, but I will say the success of somebody like Bill Zito, who, you know, grew his own business from nothing into a high-powered profile agent business, and then got experience as an AGM in Columbus, and now is running a pretty good program there in Florida. Maybe that makes you more comfortable hiring an agent to be your GM. And he's not, you know, Bill's not the first agent to be GM. There's a long list of them. Kyle Dubas has agent experience. Brian Burke was an agent, etc. But I don't know. Maybe you sit there and you go, hey, this is a sign you can run things and you have connections. And that's important.
It's really funny timing to see the Florida Panthers go into full wagon mode since the All-Star break. They've outscored, or since the All-Star break, since the Christmas break, they've outscored opponents 54-25 or whatever it is.
Yeah, they're just rolling.
Right? And I mean, whatever. Correlation is not causation, but it's funny that the team with the agent GM has looked like a machine over the last few weeks, and then all of a sudden they try to recreate it. I like it. It's an interesting move. I mean it's sort of what we're seeing with Jim Rutherford in Vancouver, where, you know, he's got this Poho job, and they're looking not outside the box, but they're looking for a different kind of GM hire. Like, we know that Rutherford's looking for a first time guy too, and we've seen that with Montreal too. It's interesting.
All right, we're coming up against David Quinn's going to be here any second. I already see the gears in motion here. So we can hit some of the trade deadline in the third segment coming out of it. So we're going to tease. We're going to talk a little bit about Claude Giroux and Marc-Andre Fleury, who's on a roll and at a perfect time for the Chicago Blackhawks. But let's pause and join that conversation with David Quinn. I'm excited to talk to David. This is a fun time, a great opportunity. So we will be right back with David Quinn.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We are now joined by David Quinn, head coach of the men's U.S. Olympic hockey team. David, thanks for doing this. We were just laughing because I know you've got nothing better to do but join this. Like, what a ramp up. It's like, what is it, just a hurricane right now trying to get this going and everything in line?
Yeah, I've gone from the breakdown lane to the high speed lane in a hurry. It's been fast and furious, but I wouldn't want it any other way. It's an incredible honor to coach the Olympic team. You know, obviously we're all a little bit disappointed when the NHL guys decided that they weren't going to go, but I thought USA Hockey did a great job in kind of changing gears quickly. Obviously, there was some anticipation that was going to be the decision by the NHL players, so we were able to kind of prepare for that, and we really love the team we picked. There was a long, you know, in a short period of time, there was a lot of work done to it. It felt like a long process in a short period of time, but we really liked the team that we picked.
Yeah. How much of a say did you have in that?
A lot, actually. You know, I mean, it was really a collaborative effort. I love the process. I thought John Van Biesburg and Mark Boxer did a heck of a job with getting the names together. And as we were going along, you know, there's just so much uncertainty to what players are going to be available. So you go through that process and you have a vision of what type of team you want to have. But I think the player pool dictates what type of team you're going to have. I know you may have a vision of how you want to have a team, but, you know, you're really at the mercy of the players that are available to you, and we just loved the speed element to the players that were available to us, and it really, you know, the process, I mean, the roster changed as the process was going on based on the players that were available and the more clarity that we had, and I really loved our process in choosing this team.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned speed. You guys went young, which I think was the right call. I mean, it's always it's more fun for us, right? All these college kids and prospects. Right. And so we were, you know, we were excited. Like I saw the average age is 25. My goodness. So what does that mean? Like, how do you shape an identity with a bunch of kids coming from all over and get them formed together quickly here?
Well, a couple of things, you know, one, I think a lot of these guys have played international hockey. So I think they have a feel of what it takes for a tournament like this, where you get a bunch of players together in a short period of time and guys kind of have to understand their roles in a hurry. I think we've got a great blend of older players maybe that can help us through that. So, and the other thing is, you know, from my end of it and from the other coaches, all of us have either played or coached an international competition. So I think there's a lot of experience from that side of it, where I think we'll have a good idea of what it's going to take in order for us to become a cohesive unit and a team in a hurry.
Yeah. So I wanted to go over the roster a little bit and I want to start in goal because it's interesting. You have a goalie in Strauss Mann who seems to be having a good year, left Michigan. What can you tell us about him and the expectations for him? I mean, that's all of a sudden there's going to be a giant spotlight on this kid out of nowhere, really.
Right. Right. I obviously knew him a little bit before this process. And, you know, all the reports we've gotten from what I've seen, you're talking about a world-class competitor. I mean, this guy hasn't been handed anything. And I think a lot of the players on our team, especially the older guys, haven't been handed anything. They've faced some adversity throughout their careers. They've always had to prove themselves. He's no different. You know, he's been one of the best goalies over in Europe this year. And he's put himself in a great position. And, you know, we feel very confident in all three goalies.
Yeah. How much you talk to Mike Sullivan or, you know, I know he was going to be, you know, obviously part of the process or even like some of the former Olympic coaches, Dan Bylsma or any, I don't know, Ronnie Wilson.
Once this process got going, I haven't had a lot of time to do that. So I actually talked to Lou Vero yesterday. So that's always fun to talk to Lou.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Even if he wasn't the previous Olympic coach, I would have talked to Lou anyway. But Sully and I were obviously talking quite a bit when the NHL guys were going, and once this happened, I've talked to him once or twice since, but I really haven't had a chance to do that. It's really been a pedal of the metal since this thing got, since we altered gears here about 3 weeks ago. So I just haven't had a chance to do that.
We talked to the Minnesota guys last night. They jumped on a Zoom with us, you know, Ben Myers and Brock Faber and Matthew Nyes. You have two thirds potentially of a pretty good line there with Myers and Nyes. They're killing it. Is that part of the process? I know you're looking at. You got the Michigan guys and you got the Wisconsin guys and you got the Minnesota guys. Is that part of the process where you look at those guys where they've had success playing together before and you think maybe that can translate more quickly into a short tournament?
Yeah, Sean, I think that you're leaning towards that when you're looking at your line combinations and things like that. I think you're probably going to start with some familiarity with players. So that's something that we certainly have talked about. But again, I think that's the fun part of this. There's just so much unknown, right? You just don't know how guys are going to blend. Like I said, I think we'll start along those lines and maybe playing guys that are familiar with each other. But who knows what it's going to look like a week later or 3 days later. You know, it's going to be a lot of, you know, adapting and adjusting and, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think one of the best stories that come out of this too, Jake Sanderson talked about it and Brock talked about it too, is John Van Beesbrouck coming up to those guys after everything went sideways at the WJC and was like, you know, be ready. You guys are going to be, are probably going to be a big part of the Olympic experience. So yeah, I don't know. The last 3 weeks fascinates me. Honestly, it feels like it was 6 months ago that they were talking about you taking over, but it was December 27th. So I don't know, man. these last 3 weeks, like what have you done? You've had a jump in the fast lane, like you said before.
Like 6 months. I feel like I've been the Olympic coach for 6 months.
That's what I'm saying.
But those guys, it's funny. I talked about that with those guys. You know, they went from, you know, the extreme low to an extreme high in a hurry, and I thought that. I kind of joked to them. I said, I'm sure that flight was a lot more enjoyable after you talked to John, giving you the heads up that, you know, you guys are going to be part of the Olympic experience after having the bad news, the devastating news, they weren't going to be able to defend your gold medal. So, you know, but it has been a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind, but, you know, it's been, like I said, a lot of hard work's gone into it. It's been a lot of fun. you know, working with people that, you know, I love to work with. I love our staff. Working with John and Mark Barks has been a lot of fun as well. So, hey, we'll coach in the Olympics. And if you can't enjoy this experience, you should go do something else.
Yeah. So like we hear the stories kind of in US lore of, you know, I think of the world, the 96 World Cup where Lou Lamoriello had all summer to get the players golfing together and, you know, they bonded, right? Like they went out drinking, yeah. whatever like Chelios and that crew was up to.
Every team goes out drinking. Yeah.
I know only the 96 team did that.
That's not a special activity.
I mean,
You guys aren't going to believe this.
Yeah, that's
some of
right.
Our guys aren't old enough to drink, so we're not going to be able to do it.
Like they had the benefit of time, right? They could bond and they could go to Providence or whatever they did. There's different versions of that with, you know, after the fact you learn about what they did and getting together and, or even the orientation camps in Chicago for some of the other teams. And you have zero, you have none of that. You're like, hey guys, I'm assuming there's probably a group text going right now, but how do you replicate that? Like that's important stuff to.
Yeah, it's important stuff. And, you know, we've talked as a staff about that, you know, and sometimes I think the bonding, you know, I'm a big believer that the bonding can just happen. I think as you get together as a team, I think you've got to find ways for certain teams to bond, you know, just because one activity or one experience for one team works doesn't mean it's going to work for yours. So, you know, I'm of the mindset that let's get together and read the situation, have a pulse of your team, and then figure it out as we go along, what's going to be the best approach to bond as a group. I think it's hard, you know, to pinpoint an exact bonding experience when you're not sure of the group, you know, as you alluded to, you know, Lou and USA Hockey, they knew all those players in a lot of ways, you know, a lot of minority played within the USA, you know, in the USA jersey. Right. So I think they had a lot of time to prepare and they understood the personalities and maybe understood some of the things they're going to do to push buttons of those certain players. We're not in that, we don't have that luxury. So I think we're going to have an opportunity once we get together to really be conscious of that, to try to figure out what can we do on top of what we're doing on the ice, what can we do off the ice to bring this whole thing closer together.
My big idea for the bonding experience, the flight over there, you guys are going to be on planes going to Tokyo and wherever else for like 18 hours. Like what brings people together more effectively than some insane travel experience?
Well, it's funny. It's, you know, there's nothing, you know, a little adversity can bring people together, right?
Yeah.
So we've faced some adversity so far. And one of the things we've talked about with our group, you know, we had our first Zoom call the other day, how each team's going to handle the unexpected. I mean, things are going to happen in this tournament or even before the tournament that you're not planning for, you know, things that are going to happen someone's going to get COVID. It's just going to happen. And the team that shrugs it off the quickest and moves forward is going to be the team that gives themselves the best chance to win a gold medal. And, you know, so that's something we've talked about, you know, an 18-hour flight. You know, we may have to use it to start implementing some of our systems on the plane. We might be doing, you know, our forecheck in the aisle ways of the flight to let guys know where they're supposed to be and where they're going. So, you know, it is going to be, again, that is going to be a little bit of a bonding opportunity, 18 hours on a flight.
18 hours. I can't even. That's a lot of movies.
Don't bring it up.
I mean, you mentioned systems. What should we look forward to in terms of style of play? I know you can't get too complicated throwing things in there, but like, I'm sure you have an identity you want this to look like.
No. Yeah, but we're not curing COVID. I mean, we're going to get on top of people. We're going to play at a pace. I mean, to me, there's going to be some structure, but there's going to be freedom within the structure. And, you know, it's we've got to play to our strength. And, you know, it's played on a North American rink. It's 200x85. So we're going to have to beat people off the walls. We're going to have to stay on top of people. And that's going to be our approach. And, you know, it's going to be no secret. You know, this is we've got to play to our strengths. And I think that's our strength.
Yeah. I thought it was a huge error not bringing Bobby Ryan, our good personal friend, one of the greatest guys. We love Bobby.
I love Bobby. I talked to Bobby, you know, once this thing happened. And believe me, we talked an awful lot about him and a few other guys in this situation. And, you know, there was a decision made as a group, you know, as the team was getting closer and closer to being picked. Again, he was a guy we talked an awful lot about. And, you know, not playing as hard. I mean, I know he's got a lot of experience and he's a great player, but, you know, this is the Olympics. And we just, with the team we were putting together, we just thought at the end of the day, it was going to be hard for guys that haven't played, even if they're skating, to be put in this situation. That was our decision, whether it's right or wrong, who knows, but that was kind of what the group felt like. And, you know, it wasn't an easy call, believe me.
How much experience do you have with some of the older guys in the roster? Like, had you kicked around and like to, I mean, coach against guys like Andy Mealy and, you know, yes, Kenny Agostino? Like, how much did that play a part in them ending up here?
Yeah, I had a familiarity with those guys, but, you know, obviously I coached David Wazowski at BU, coached camp for a little bit with the Rangers, and coached against all those other guys. So, you know, Shore and Agostino and Miele and O'Neill. So, you know, I there's a familiarity for me. Cooper, I don't know as well, but watching what I've watched, I loved, obviously. You know, so for me, I was fortunate that I had some familiarity with these older players. And obviously, I've watched them from afar. And they've had, you know, they're not on the team because I knew about them. They're on the team because of what they're doing right now. You know, so, you know, like I said, we feel very, very good in the older group that we have. And we feel great about the team we've put together.
Awesome. Well, good luck. I know you've got a million things to do. So we appreciate you squeezing this in, David. And we're looking forward to, like, it's you know, there's going to be someone who emerges that we're not even talking about. I mean, you know, we didn't mention Brendan Brisson or Matty Beniers and some of these high end talent guys. It's like that's the fun thing is it could be anything. Like, we can't wait to see it.
Everyone asked me about the competition. I don't know. You know, there's so much unknown in this tournament. I think that's what's going to make it exciting and fun.
No, we need a detailed breakdown of Finland's roster here. Like, let's go.
You're talking to the wrong guy right now. I'm trying to get our roster under wraps.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for doing this and safe travels. Enjoy the flight.
Right, and, great talking to you.
We'll catch up later. Thanks, Quinny.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was good stuff from David Quinn.
He's good, man.
Like, I'm gassed up. I'm ready. I'm ready for it now.
It's easy to see why he's a good motivator, right? Like, I'm like, you literally said right before he joined, you're uninterested. You're like, get me excited, David Quinn. How are you feeling now?
180, rolling out the whiteboard on the 18-hour flight to Tokyo and then whatever else they have to do after that. Let's go, baby. Let's watch Miracle.
The fourth best hockey movie
of all time.
You heard it here first. This is my prediction. The Americans are winning gold.
Wow, you're really going out on a limb there. I was not expecting to hear that from you.
This is their year. No one's talking about them.
I just want some, I want some good chaos
in this tournament.
I want some good games at least in the group round. They finish up group play against Germany, and that seems like it could be important. Because if you think that Germany and the U.S. both beat China and lose to Canada, you know, that last game could determine who ends up making it to the quarterfinals. But I'm psyched. I'm psyched for it, man. I know I was honestly joking earlier about not caring.
Where are you, Sean?
I've tricked myself into caring over the course of the last 2 weeks. I don't need any help from David Quinn.
All right,
great as he may be,
wow!
You really got him with the Bobby Ryan question.
You think so? Well, yeah, gotcha, Bobby. Gotcha, David Quinn. I wanted to know how close it was, and like, was it even a thing? And clearly, it was. And he said he talked a lot with Bobby Ryan, but you know, this is a team built on youth and speed, which, you know, Bobby Ryan's a lot of things, and I don't know if that would have fit. I get it. I just this is the podcast of Bobby Ryan, so you got to ask. It would have been incomplete.
I mean, they only had 3 weeks to do it. Whatever, get him some slack. It was the holidays. What do you expect?
Coming up next, the best segment in sports. We take your questions in the reader.
It's just the best segment on the show. It's not the best segment in sports.
It's the best segment in media. Coming up next.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When you're trying to grow a business, the caliber of person you bring in to help you do that is really important. And LinkedIn makes it really easy to interview the right people for the role, quality people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/NHL show. That's linkedin.com/NHL show to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Craig called this the best segment in sports media. It is certainly the best segment on the show. The only good segment on the show. It's when we go into the comments on the Athletic app. And here's what you do, guys. You open the app.
The Athletic.
You look at the Athletic. No, you open up. You open up Grubhub. You search the Athletic. You click takeout. I don't know. The Athletic app. Listen, hockey show. Scroll down to Tuesday. Last week was John Klingberg. We got 17 comments. That's a lot.
17.
You guys are sick little freaks to find this on the app.
It's amazing. I literally was like just holding my breath. I haven't looked since last week. I'm like, there's a chance there's zero because it's you got to cross 15 hurdles.
I monitor these a little bit closer than you at this point. Yeah.
Here's what I was also going to suggest.
I'm going to say this again. I cannot comment on the other comments. There's some kind of glitch. I don't really know what it is.
They're working on that.
Yeah, sure.
It's priority number one.
Yeah. We got him working in shifts. Coach, to quote the Big Lebowski.
I would also add, if you have a hard time getting questions in, possibly, let's say you don't have the latest version of whatever you need, we will also accept questions that are written into any 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
And I say that only because John will send me screen grabs of reviews and I am highly entertained by them. So that is also acceptable. I'm going to add that wrinkle in.
If you have a terrible review, if you really don't like us and you still give us 5 stars, you can make fun of us in the review. We will accept that as well.
So questions can come that way. All right. So we tease trade talk a little bit. So we're going to lightning round that. Because I think there's two interesting names. I'm going to start with Claude Giroux. Do you think he gets traded?
I think he should. The Flyers stink. They're awful. They're on some horrible skid here. His contract is up. They need to do something differently. And he's still pretty good.
Yeah.
I know he's played a lot of wing over the last couple of years, but he's certainly still center capable, you would think, or at least people will convince themselves that he is. I think they could get something solid for him, and they need to do something different in Philly because this is not working.
I
heard someone bring up Giroux to the Wild.
Oh,
I don't know if that's the easiest. I don't know that that's the best fit, but it's really really interesting.
Giroux, of course, has a no move, so he will have a say in this. So it's not like he's going to go to, you know, Edmonton or something. The other thing,
who on earth would ever want to go to imagine being a player and signing for like 10, 12 years to play with Edmonton? What kind of sucker would do that?
And taking less money than you really had to.
Does such a player even exist?
So you said he should be traded. Will he be traded? You skirted the question.
I don't
this
know.
This is the worst lightning round. You don't know. Okay. Second one, Marc-Andre Fleury, best fit. Oh, well, speaking of, I think we might have just talked about him.
Yeah. I mean, that's the obvious one that everyone's trying to land Fleury on Edmonton, right? But they just like Mike Smith so much that I don't know if they're going to go out and get another goaltender.
It could be the thing that saves them, you know? Like,
they're not getting saved.
I know Ken Holland has said essentially we're not doing the rentals if we're moving young pieces. It's for
how much longer can he let this go on?
how much longer will Connor let it go on, right? Like, you run the risk of losing Connor McDavid. I know everyone talks about that. It never happens. Connor's a pro. But, I mean, you saw his his comments the other night. Like, he just seems to be getting
That was a hostage video.
Yeah, like, progressively. Like, it just doesn't – it's not getting better. And at some point, he's going to say, uncle. So, yeah, might as well.
And we're going to keep pretending that he has no say in anything that goes on there and doesn't have any influence to exert. Stupid.
All right.
The best fit. The best fit for Marc-Andre Fleury is the Washington Capitals.
Oh.
That goaltending situation is a mess. I think that's fair to say. They have two guys who are mediocre to varying degrees. It's a win now team, if ever there was one. When you have Alex Ovechkin at 36 and Nicklas Backstrom and all these, dial it up. Go get him.
I love that. I love that. I'm sure the people at Pittsburgh would handle that just fine, seeing Marc-Andre Fleury raising a cup with Alex Ovechkin and hugging him and celebrating and drinking in fountains through their shirts, beer.
I think the fact that Tristan Jarry has been fine might head off some of that at the pass. Like, if Jarry were struggling, like, some alternate universe where Tristan Jarry was at 904 this season and was really looking like the guy that almost single-handedly lost a playoff series to the New York Islanders. If that's the guy they got this season, and then say it's March 2nd and Marc-Andre Fleury gets traded to the Washington Capitals, there would be, I think riots in the streets here. But the fact that Jarry's been okay might keep me safe.
All right, to the comments. Matt Ass writes, Pittsburgh traded Kalen Addison two seasons ago to the Wild, gentlemen. Hey, Matt, we told you. We don't know what we're doing here.
Don't care. That was after 90 seconds, me being like, they don't have any prospects to trade. They haven't traded yet. It's only been picks. And they're like, actually, Kalen Addison. Yeah, that was in the Jason Zucker trade. That seemed like a potential backfire situation as soon as it happened. And he's been fine. That's Matt S, by the way. That's part of Russo's army, I'm sure, who jumps down our throats if we ever have an opportunity to mention the Wild and don't.
Oh, my gosh. You got your own podcast.
Yeah, man. All right, go ahead. All right, Will A. For all the MSU talk, I think Craig is actually incredibly professional about it. That is inaccurate. You should hear the horrendous things he says before we actually start recording here. How much did you want to drop a Case Hall reference to Jim Slater, Craig?
Yeah, I would have done a best cafeteria food segment. Here's the thing. Maybe this is every college, but at Michigan State, if you happen to be in a dorm where the athletes are, you eat like a king.
Oh yeah.
But if you're slumming over there in Acres with all the rest of the freshmen, you're getting the slop like the rest of us.
At Maryland, they had. I mean, the athletes lived basically on the other side of campus from all the other freshmen. So yeah, they separated them from the plebes. Absolutely.
I think Jim Slater was getting a much different meal than I was getting over at Shaw Hall.
Ugh. Michael K. Happy that Jim Slater. And again, our guest last week was Jim Slater, who was on the 2018.
Oh, listen, it was great.
Yeah. He was on the 2018 team. That's about as close to an analog as you're going to get for what guys are dealing with, in Beijing now, because it was a group of vets and some younger guys, and you know, there were no NHL players over there. So Jim was really interesting and a lot of fun. Michael says he's happy that Jim finally got that Olympic experience, even if it was later on. Stories from Olympic Village were nice. Too bad with her. So that's all true. I do feel bad for some of these. Like, that's actually a good question. Do I feel bad for these guys? Ben Myers and Brock Faber and all, like, again,
they're going to the Olympics. You feel bad?
No, I don't. Because they don't feel like you should have seen how excited these dudes were yesterday. All right, they did it.
of course they were, Sean. They're going to the Olympics. If maybe I should send in my tape from the pond that I record. Yeah. I've got some clips for David Quinn if you need one more.
Bottom six capable. Mm-hmm. 54 years old, or however old you are now.
Oh my, jeez.
You're 76, right? 75?
54. You sound like my kids. They make age jokes. I'm like, guys, age jokes aren't even funny.
Dude, you have no idea. My life is age jokes at this point. I get murdered on a daily basis. Just keep that. We don't need to go into detail there. Michael says we should show off more of the athletic hockey writers on the show, like slowly rotate in for quick interviews. I mean, they don't like us. I think that's is mainly that why it doesn't happen. You should hear the things Peter Boss says about you when you're not paying attention.
I believe that. I like we can, especially as we get, we did that playoff preview last year where we had like 7,000 writers in and Jeff DeMet was landing planes, our producer Jeff. Like, I'm in on that. Like, I, the more the merrier, the less we have to do. I'll read the next one. Mm-hmm. Michael K writes, and since you offered Sean, you're hot. Sean, you're hot. He says that multiple times because Sean offered $5 for anybody that would leave a comment. And I think Michael K tried to find a loophole that says Sean's hot. That's $50, please, Mr. Gentile.
Drop the Venmo in the comments there, Michael K. I'm not seeking you out here.
I hope he does.
We'll see what happens. Also, we got a Sean, you're hot from NHL editor Alex Iniguez. So in the comments, so I can pay him $5.
Alex has figured out how to comment on the podcast.
It's because he's got an co-host. He's got an Android. Right. We don't need to go into that. Alex B, long time, first time, finally made the pilgrimage to the Holy Land, which is of course the Athletic Hockey Show comment section to say, Sean, you're hot. OnlyFans when? My OnlyFans page will go live on February 1st. Go blue.
Is that tied to the Olympics in some way? Your OnlyFans?
It could be. We could shoot some special content for my paid subscribers.
Chris J, with the NHL not going to the Olympics, who goes on the podium? Who has the best shot? Side note, the movie Miracle was definitely more about the journey to the Olympics.
Yeah, thanks for explaining the point of Miracle to us. Come on.
Curious, what do you guys think of the hockey movie Mystery Alaska with Russell Crowe?
Oh, I love Mystery Alaska. It's very funny.
I've never seen it.
It's good. You should make a point to knock that one out. It's underrated.
As good as Muppet's Christmas Carol?
I mean, nothing's as good as Muppet's Christmas Carol. Is it better than The Great Muppet Caper? Perhaps. Mr. Craig and Mr. Sean, you're both way hotter than the other day's episode crews, says Nicholas K.
Thank you. Is it a coincidence where there's a lot of Mr. references?
No.
Okay.
Alana O says, Sean, you're hot. Do I leave my Venmo handle? Or yes, you do. Go back in. Drop the Venmo, Alana.
This is all a bit much.
I think it's fine. Bruno L. Okay. The way, like, this gets back into something we said earlier in the show. Never bet against Pittsburgh. This team has been able to remain competitive year after year by adding key depth pieces, even when their cap is maxed out. You mentioned guys like, you know, Evan Rodriguez and, you know, Mark Donk and Buzz Flibbits, guys like that who, you know, come in and turn into legitimate depth players. And he also says Edmonton should be taking notes, and that is correct. How does Edmonton still have no bottom six pieces? How is that possible?
I don't know.
It's the most obnoxious part of that team's construction is that they can't find two or three or five, you know, just half capable guys to flesh things out. That is the failing. And also hitching their wagon to Mike Smith for another year for whatever reason.
Not to actually analyze and talk hockey here, but why do you think, I mean, Edmonton has tried to bring in complimentary players and these aren't, you know, dummies running the show. Why do you think Pittsburgh constantly is able to do it? Find people to compliment Sid or whatever. Like, is it a coaching thing? Is it a culture thing?
I think part of it's a coaching thing. I think a lot of that has to do with Mike Sullivan. And I think a lot of it has
to do
with...
Mike Sullivan's pretty good.
Yeah, so I've heard. And I think a lot of it has to do with targeting high-quality NCAA free agents. Like, that's... Mm-hmm. And I'm not even being a smartass there. Like has been partially out of necessity because they've traded so many draft picks. That means they have to go out and get guys like Zach Aston-Reese and Drew O'Connor and players like that who come in and, you know, they're not all-star caliber, but they're also smart guys who know their role and have some level of production in their past. And those are the guys who can plug and play on a third line and do some good stuff. So yeah, I think Edmonton should do that. It's pretty simple. Just do that.
Just do that, Edmonton. Hire Mike Sullivan. I'm surprised they haven't done that. They should Mike Sullivan.
That would entail firing the current coach, and we know that that's just apparently not going to happen.
Well, how about you bring in David Quinn after he wins a gold medal?
Oh, baby. Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to pull up the show wrap up if you want to wrap up the comments.
Yeah, Joe T. This is a good one. IMO, in my opinion, Joe T says, this is not my opinion. It's Joe's. Mm-hmm. Craig is a handsome dude with that beard. I bet he puts his clothes. I bet he puts his clothes away.
I do.
It's a knock on.
I do. Like I fold them and put them in a dresser drawer, like a like an adult would.
As I look over my shoulder,
and also, I close the drawer.
You make your bed,
as one does.
Joe T also bets that you use a nice Brita pitcher. He says that I'm the kind of unprofessional guy who would pee while on a podcast, which is a reference to the Puck Soup live call-in show last week when I was walking around on, you know, wireless headphones on my phone, speaking live on a podcast, and I poured a glass of water, and it sounded like I was taking a leak, and people lost their minds. They think I'm a nasty little pig.
That sounds like revisionist history.
I've said this. I said this at the time. I'll say it again. If I pee on a podcast, you guys are going to know. I'm not going to run from that.
That's true. I'll be honest about it.
Half the show is about me embarrassing myself. So I welcome it with open arms.
I'll say this. I've noticed about us. We're not afraid to like do like we have guests on and we're both drinking coffee and we have like the coffee mug halfway into our mouth as we're asking like we can't even I noticed it with the Gigi Marvin, like we're holding it up and we're like and the Olympics and we can't even wait a second to get it out. We're sipping as she's slurping. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, we're nasty little pigs. Stupid men. Carlos L. keeps it simple. He says, you and Craig are the stars of the hockey show. All the others are just the extras. Hell yes. So we are like, we're like the Michael Caine and Kermit the Frog of the hockey show. All the others are secondary Muppets. Like maybe Mendez is Sweetums.
That's what we need. Somebody attach a Muppet to every hockey. Will someone do that in the comments for us next week just to entertain it? Like, attach a Muppet to every.
Boltman is Rizzo the Rat. Mm-hmm. The hated Max Boltman.
Thanks for leaving comments, everybody. Make sure you're listening. Listen, Sean and I, after we're done with this, are about to record a bonus episode for all the Apple Podcasts Athletic Audio Plus subscribers. That's going to be way better than this episode.
You guys wouldn't even believe how much cool stuff we have planned for this.
So good. I spent the weekend prepping for it. And that is, you can, if you want that bonus content on Apple Podcasts, and you get our whole network, you get everybody at The Athletic there, you can start a 30-day free trial, and then it's just 99 cents a month. Go on to Apple Podcasts. I don't know how you would do it from there, but I'm sure you're all super smart. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to subscribe to The Athletic and leave comments on the app, which is the best reason to subscribe to The Athletic, you can go to theathletic.com/hockeyshow and get in for $3.99 a month.
That gives you exclusive access to the hottest place on the internet. It's the comments page for our episodes.
I will say, we don't need like, it doesn't have to be about Sean and I. Every comment doesn't have to be about Sean's looks or anything. Like, we can answer
questions. I mean, like we did a bit last week. We can ditch this now. Like, you guys
Venmo,
you guys,
the money, Sean.
If I mean, the Venmo
I'm
show,
slightly uncomfortable by all of this.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna be breaking some kind of law here. No, ask us actual questions. We'll answer them. I can't guarantee that we'll think about them all that much before we answer them. But we'll talk.
Wednesday's Athletic Hockey Show has Rob Pizzo, Sarah Sivian, Jesse Granger, and their guest Peter Baugh, who we've established doesn't like us.
Doesn't like you.
Oh, okay.
Talks a lot of
true.
Shit. Pete Baugh does. Let
true.
Me tell you.
Now we got to mark this explicit. Because of the outro. My goodness. Because of the plugs at the end. Now we got to mark this whole episode explicit.
Cursing like Katie Strang over here, baby.
A young Katie Strang. My goodness. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to David Quinn for joining the podcast. Good luck winning that gold medal. We're going to have him back on with a gold medal around his neck in the Zoom call. It's going to be a great moment.
It's going to be a great Twitter video to drop, baby. Quinny holding up the medal. Let's go.
I hope this happens. He's committed to it. He said he would do it. Win the gold, that is. Not join the podcast. Actually,
yeah. Yeah, both.
Thanks.